Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I just want to say thank you to Jesus. You know, he's just opening more and more doors. And I know it's because he wants to get the true gospel of grace, the true message out, that it's all about him. And it's not anything to do with what we have to do. It's all about him. It's all about what he has done. It's his work. It's his effort. It was his toiling, not ours. No, you have to's, you must, you need to's, you have an obligation. No, no, no. My obligation is to keep my eyes on Jesus. That's it. My obligation is to keep hearing about Jesus and all his love and all his goodness. That's it. No, I need to, or I have to's, or I must. I'm on the phone, and I'm on email, and I'm on text messaging every single day from the time I wake up pretty much to the time I go to bed, just ministering to people. Wow. They're just as much as my people as you guys are my people. I love them all, you know? Amen. I love them all. And I'm grateful for the miracles that I know are taking place. I know they're taking place. But you know, they all say the same thing. They all say the same thing. Pastor Lenny, oh my goodness, I've had so much guilt, shame, and condemnation because I'm not doing things the way I'm supposed to be, or I'm not doing things right, or I'm not exactly getting it right, or I'm not speaking right, or I'm not commanding right, or I'm not using my authority like I'm supposed to be. What's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? Oh, and then they go into, you know, all the sins of my past, you know, they've caught up with me. You know, they say I'm paying for what I've done in my life. I'm like, who are you listening to? I know who you're listening to. You're listening to, you know, the mixture gospel. You're listening to that other gospel that came out of Jerusalem that says you need to, you have to, you must. Paul said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. I won't frustrate the grace of God. It's all about him. It's all about what he did. It's all about his effort, his toil, his work. I'm not going to frustrate him. I'm not going to frustrate his grace by thinking that blessings, righteousness, right standing comes from my doing, adhering to laws. Because if that was the case, then Jesus Christ died for no reason at all. Amen. Galatians chapter 2:21. I don't hear preachers preach about that verse much. They're going to say, oh, I was crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I who live, but Christ who liveth in me. Yeah, they'll preach that. But they'll forget verse 21, the verse right after it. I will not frustrate the grace of God. I will not frustrate his grace. I will not think I have to add to it. I will not think that it's work that I must do. That's something I must do. Because if righteousness comes from what I must do or what I have to do or what I need to do, Jesus Christ died for no reason at all. And people, you know, all over. I mean, I just praise God for the messages. I mean, hundreds of messages on how free they're becoming. You know, where have I been? How free they are. And it's not me. It's the gospel. It's the gospel that Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to all who believe. The gospel of Christ. What is the gospel of Christ? It's all about Christ. It's all about Christ. But because we don't know simple truths from the Word of God, that there were two gospels being preached in the New Testament. We don't know that simple truth. There was one coming out of Jerusalem. That's the one that Paul had always fight against. That preached faith in Jesus Christ and zealousness for the law of Moses. Faith in Jesus Christ, and you have to do. Faith in Jesus Christ, and you have a work. No. That's the gospel that came out of Jerusalem. That's the one Paul went to in Acts chapter 20 to go have it out with the apostles. He said, listen, you keep going that direction, I'm going this direction. I'm continuing to go to the Gentiles. I don't want them to know anything about that gospel. It's amazing. All people have to do is just read the Word of God. And they'll find out that there was two gospels in the New Testament. And so these people, people just keep asking me, but how long does the process take? How long does the process take? How long did the process take with you? And I let them know that, well, how long did it take with the Apostle Paul? The Apostle Paul was traveling on the road to Damascus, okay? And he met Jesus on that road. Like, who art thou? Who art thou? Well, Paul, Saul, he called him Saul. Saul is me, it's Jesus. What? So he goes to the street called Straight, and he's just going without food or water for 3 days, just wondering, just contemplating what had happened. And Cornelius comes and lays hands on him, and he receives the Holy Spirit and becomes born again. How long did the process of renewal take? It says the next day he was in the synagogues confounding the Jews about Jesus Christ. Process doesn't have to take long. It could be instantaneous. The man that had 2,000 demons. How long did the process take? The renewal of his mind. The renewal of his body. It was instantly. It was instantly. It says, they found him clothed, dressed, at peace, in his right mind. Instantly. The woman that was taken in adultery. Where are those that condemn thee? Is there no one left? She said, no man, Lord. No man, Lord. And he said, well, neither do I. Go, and now you have power. She was a new person. She was a new, the woman at the well. She came one way and she instantly left another way. So the process doesn't have to take long. But guess who's in control of the process? We are. We're in control of the process. There's only one preacher I listen to, guys. Oh, no, there's a couple I listen. I'll listen to Joey. Joey's good. I'll listen to Pastor Butch Bruton. He's all about grace. But there's very few I listen to because I'm not going to be told what I need to do or what I have to do or what I'm not doing. And I'm not going to let people talk to me in any other way than God the Father would talk to me. And God the Father says, I called you, Len. Yeah. And I declared you righteous, Len. And I justified you before me, Len. And Len, I glorified you. What? Yes, Len, I glorified you. Me, God Almighty, I glorified you. You know what that means, Len? What does it mean, Father? It means that I have the same view and opinion of you that I have of my son, Jesus Christ. And in fact, I've made you to be in his exact image, in his exact likeness. So if they don't speak to me the way God the Father would speak to me, I ain't going to listen to them. And that's the only way I'm going to speak to you guys. You are, you can, you have. You're just like Jesus Christ. You know, people ask me, you know, you hear from God, you listen to God. Well, how come you went the way of the medical route? I said, well, because I did hear from God. And he told me to proceed with peace. But I wonder why. Because when I first got this revelation, healing was like popcorn. It was like popcorn. And then I started getting educated. The steps, the ways, the standing. The this, the that, the that, the this, the that. Now, I had to get away. I'm gonna get totally away from that. And now that's why it's all a fruit. That's why I wrote this book, The Two Greatest Forces in the Life of a Believer, Love and Righteousness. Because when you know his love and when you know you're righteous, everything else is a fruit. But I do hear his voice. And as I was thinking and praying, and I love you guys. I love the messages you're sending, and thank you for your support. Your support helps keep this ministry going. You guys are amazing blessings. I love you. I love you. But I have to also admit, that I was ready. See, I was ready. Now, praise God if there's been no attacks. Praise God. But they might come. Don't wait till they come to get ready. Don't wait till they come to get ready. I was ready when the COVID came. You know, I didn't fall apart when the oncologist told me, you know, it's very rare, it's extremely rare, you know, 2% chance of survival. That's the rate. Okay? I didn't have to go then and get ready. You follow what I'm saying?
Yep.
I didn't have to go there and get ready. I was ready. And so the Lord told me, you know what? You were ready, Len. Share some of the ways that you readied yourself. And so that's what we're going to be doing. Not on Sundays because it's just too much, but on my Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Thursdays on YouTube, I'm going to be going through what I went through, you know, I'd like to call it at my born again. And I, the Holy Spirit told me, Len, these are 10 confessions you should have. These are 10 confessions that you should have. These confessions should be flowing from your mouth. These confessions should be bouncing around the soul, bouncing around your mind, coming into full agreement with your spirit. And he gave me, you know, 10 confessions, you know, from I am loved, I am righteous, I am healed, I know my Savior's voice, I know my shepherd's voice, and so I'm going to be going through that. See, because I was ready. And I never forget, on 3 o'clock, he woke me up this week. 4 o'clock in the morning. Why does he do that? Why do you wake me up at 4 o'clock in the morning, Lord? I know why, because it's all quiet and nobody's around and nobody's, you know. But you know what they do, because at 4 o'clock in the morning, I'm getting texts or WhatsApp messages from the Philippines, from England, from Australia. So, but it's not as much at that time of the year, at that time of the day. So he woke me up again, and I was sleeping, and he kept saying to me, Psalm 23, Len, Psalm 23. And I'm like, Psalm 23? Yeah, remember? I gave you Psalm 23. I gave you Psalm 23. Holy Spirit had you rewrite it. Share with them Psalm 23. Share with them Psalm 23. I said, okay, Lord. And so I dug into my iPad, and I dug into my phone to try to pull it up, because it was so long ago. It came from October, I think I shared this, October 21. That's how long ago it's been. It's been over 2 years. So, but anyway, 3 a.m. Friday morning, 3 a.m. Friday morning on October 22nd, 2021, he woke me up. I got up. He told me to turn to Psalm 23. I did, and I read it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou dost prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I thought that was a nice psalm. Mm-hmm. But the Lord said, it's a lot deeper than that, Len. There's a lot more. There's a lot more than that. There's more to it than that. And so I just started looking up some of the words, and I'm like, wow, Lord, there is a lot more than that. And so as I was looking up the words in the Hebrew, and now all of a sudden, you know, because I spend so much time in Paul's writings, I was instantly led to Paul's writings, you know, because Paul said scriptures. He said, Timothy, you know the Holy Scriptures, 2 Timothy chapter 3. You know the Holy Scriptures, how they make you wise unto salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. So Psalm 23, making me wise to salvation through Jesus Christ. So let's find out what it's really saying there. And so I sat there at 3 o'clock in the morning and I rewrote this. So I know, I think you all got a copy. Who didn't get a copy? Okay, that's because you came here after 10:15. If you came before 10:15, our ushers would have handed it one to you. So make sure you get one on the way out. And those of you online who want a copy, let me know and I'll email it to you or send it to you. So Psalm 23 is given to me by the Holy Spirit. Verse 1. This is how I wrote it down. The Lord is my shepherd. That makes him my guide, my ruler, my teacher, my protector, my provider. And because he is, I can never fail. Nor can I ever be in want. Nor will I ever become less in his eyes. And nor will I ever have a need. I like that. And I look at Luke chapter 15, verse 4. When Jesus talks about the good shepherd, the shepherd, the shepherd, the shepherd who's always looking for his sheep, who's always looking at his sheep, over his sheep, for their safety, for their protection. He'll climb over every mountain. He'll climb through any valley. He'll climb over every rock to get to his sheep, to take care of them, to protect them, to be their guide, to be their provider. John 10, verse 11, I am the good shepherd. I give my life for my sheep, and he gave his life for me, and he gave his life for you, and he gave his life that we might have life more abundantly. Not only eternally, but in this life, right here, right now. The Lord is my shepherd, my guide, my ruler, my teacher, my protector, my provider. And because he is, I will never fail. I will never be in want. I will never become less than loved and approved of in his eyes. I will never have a need. Oh, I forgot to tell you. This was 3 a.m. Friday morning, October 22nd. Do you know what happened 10 a.m. Thursday, October 21st? That's when the doctor called me up. So as a result of that, he gave me this. Verse 2. He causes me to live and dwell in rest. I hope you guys know that green, the color green, symbolizes salvation. He leads me into green pastures. He leads me into his salvation. Salvation, soteria. He leads me into the blessing. He leads me into the healing. He leads me into the wholeness. He leads me into his provision. He causes me to live and dwell in rest. He causes me to live and dwell and rest in immortality and newness of life. With great care, he brings me to the watering place of the regeneration of his word, where I am transformed to my true identity, to be just like him. Green symbolizes salvation, new beginnings, new growth, vibrant health, rebirth, renewal. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are gone. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. The transformation takes place as we are renewed in our mind to our true identity. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. When we come to the mirror, when we come to the still waters, and we see the reflection, we see the reflection of Yahweh, we see the reflection of Jesus, we see the reflection of Jesus, we know we're looking at ourselves, and we become transformed into that image. Transformation becomes complete. If you find Jesus, if you seek Jesus and you find Jesus and you search for Jesus and you find him, you will find yourself. Verse 3, he restores me to my intended glory and position. He brings me to an accepted position of righteousness where I'm at complete peace with the Father. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 23 and 24 tells us to put on this new man. Put on this new man. this new position of glory, this new position you've been created into. Put on this new man who after Christ has been created in true holiness and true righteousness. Romans chapter 4 verse 25 says, he was delivered for my transgressions. He was delivered for my sins. And he was raised for my declaration of righteousness. Romans chapter 5 verse 1, therefore being declared righteous, he brings me to an accepted position of righteousness where I'm complete, at complete peace with the Father. Therefore, being declared righteous, I have peace with God through faith in Jesus Christ. And you know what righteousness means? Righteousness means fully approved. It means your proper and right standing. It means at peace with God. And it means fully qualified for all the promises and all the blessings. He restores me to my intended glory and position. He whom the Father called, he justified. And who he justified, he glorified. I hope you see our new covenant as you're reading Psalm 23. It's like David had foresight. David looked ahead to our day. Verse 4, if I were to find myself in a deep or dark place of extreme danger, of distress, or even death, I will never, ever be afraid. Why? His powerful support will be my great comfort. What does it say here? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I like my way better. If I were to find myself in a deep or dark place of extreme danger, distress, even death, I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid. And I'll tell you what, when it came time to get those beams, I literally jumped on the table. I was at complete peace. I was at complete peace. I wasn't taking them. He was taking them. He was taking them for me. I fell asleep. They'd have to come and wake me up. Say, Mr. Roller, we never met anybody like you. I said, you say that to everybody. He's, no, we don't. Never met anybody like you. You know, I'm the only person they ever let take pictures of that inner chamber. I got the pictures. I got the pictures of the machine. I got the pictures of them. And I shared them on Healing Is Here when I was in Colorado. His powerful support will be my great comfort. The prayer to Ephesians, to the Ephesians in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 19. Guys, that you would know the exceeding greatness of his power, the exceeding greatness of his power to you who believe. His powerful support will be my great comfort. This is what he gave me going into what I had to go into. I was ready. I was prepared. Along with those 10 confessions that were a part of me. Verse 5, never ever will I fear. Never ever will I be in fear of the adversary. And that doesn't only mean Satan. That means any kind of satanic report, any kind of evil report, any kind of bad report. I will never ever fear the adversary. Because you, O God, have prepared a feasting table fit for a king for me to be strengthened from. You have filled me with your anointing. So much so, it's constantly flowing from within. Never will I be in fear. Never. 1 John chapter 4, verse 18. Why? Because his perfect love casts out all fear. If you have fear, you need a revelation of his perfect love. You get a revelation of his perfect love, and all fear is cast away. Amen? Amen? Luke chapter 10, verse 18, Jesus said, I saw Satan falling like lightning. You need to see that too. Not only Satan falling like lightning, but the doctor's report, falling like lightning. He has filled me with his anointing. 1 John chapter 2, verse 27 tells us, you have the anointing. He's writing to his dear children. He's writing to us. You have the anointing and you know it. Do you know it? Do you know it? You have the anointing. And it says, and you don't need another one to teach you. You don't even need another one to teach you what to do. When you look to that anointing, the exceeding greatness of his power to you who believes, that anointing will take over. He has filled me with his anointing so much, it constantly flows from within. In John chapter 7:38, he says, out of our very bellies, rivers of life will flow. That anointing. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21. It's the Father who establishes us in righteousness. See, we're already established in righteousness by the Father. Approval, peace, fully qualified, right standing. It's the Father who establishes us in Christ in righteousness and anoints us. The Father has anointed us. It's not saying he will. If we ever knew, even Pastor Lenny, if I ever knew about myself, all that God knows about me, wow. If we knew more about ourselves, what God knows. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 21. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 20. This is why Paul said, to him who is able to do far beyond, greater, more than we could ever ask or think. Why? Because of the power that's within us. He has filled me with his anointing, so much so it constantly flows from within. In verse 7, pleasantness, goodness, excellence, and kindness will follow me and pursue me until it totally engulfs every area of my life. I will remain, I will live, I will dwell, I will abide forever in the habitation of his presence. Psalm chapter 5, verse 12. The Lord doth bless the righteous man. He surrounds him with grace as a shield. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. For those who have received his gift of grace, his abundance of grace, and his gift of righteousness, they will rule and reign in life. Colossians chapter 1, verse 13. He has delivered us from the domain of darkness, and he has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son of his love. That is our dwelling place. That is our place of habitation in the kingdom of the Son of his love, where we are loved, where we are loved. And so he gave me this psalm, chapter 23 of the book of Psalms. I rewrote it. I was blessed by it. I hope it blesses you. If you don't have a copy, make sure you get a copy. If you want a copy, ask me for a copy. And make sure you listen to the message, because there's some additional notes in there. It's going to be on podcast. I know this is going to bless you. This is for you. This is for you. It wasn't just for me. It is for you. And I know it's going to give you peace. I know it's going to shower you with love. I know it's going to cause you, you're already in his presence, but in your soul, right, to even enter that presence even more, to know where there's a table for you to feast from, to know where there's green pastures of salvation for you to graze upon, for you to go to the mirror and see how you're exactly like Jesus Christ, to know that you're fully righteous before the Father, fully approved, fully loved, fully qualified, to know that you have the fullness of his anointing. You have it. You have it. You have it. You don't need to work for it. There's nothing you need to do. It's already yours in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.